that. Well, good morning again. It is a good morning. Donna asked me this morning, why I was dressed up so nice. I put, it's been a while since I had a jacket on up here. I knew it was going to be chilly in here. I told her because it was Communion Sunday. We don't have the heat on. We got a leaky pipe on the boiler line. We're going to get that fixed, and we will have heat next week. I will guarantee you that. Okay. So, but we will take care of that. We'll get you heat for next week, so you don't have to come with the overcoats next week, except as a backup. No, we'll have it fixed. It has been a busy week, a good week. And as some of you know, I am volunteer police chaplain too, and I responded to a teenage boy last week who died of suicide, and the funeral was on Monday. I had the opportunity to speak to about 80 or 90 junior high kids about suicide. And it was quite an opportunity, and I actually do think some of them heard what I had to say. So I pray that the kids and the family members and friends, instead of being torn apart by this tragedy, will be brought closer together and closer to the Lord. So just ask your continued prayer for those families and people. It's going to be the next couple of weeks, and even 3 months from now and 6 months from now, especially come Christmas time and the Thanksgiving and the holidays here, where this family and these friends are really going to be hit. And if you just remember them in your prayers, I would appreciate it very much. Just pray for the family of Blake and the friends of Blake. Okay, that's probably all you need. Again, we are having our hayride this Friday. It's a great time. We always have a lot of friends from the neighborhood who show up and go for a hayride, and that's exactly what it's for. Is we just want to share God's love, and just to, you don't need to be afraid of bringing somebody thinking that somebody's going to be jamming a track at them or somebody's going to be trying to corner them and preach at them. All we want to do is show them the love of Christ and just that we can have joy and friendship and fellowship together. So just want you to be willing to encourage people to come. I know that's going to be a good time. A couple things that aren't in the bulletin that I do want to touch on. I didn't realize this, but November 1st I will be having a meeting on for those people who are interested in becoming POP volunteers. Remember, POP is our ministry called Parents Opportunity for Peacefulness, where we provide supervised visitation that is often court-ordered for families who are having issues. Sometimes they're divorced, sometimes never married. Sometimes one parent was abusive in some way or had drug or alcohol issues. Multiple issue things, why not? We just, if that's something that you might be interested in, what we're asking for is you to be willing to volunteer 2 hours every other week. And the 2 hours would be at the same time, the same family, until they complete their supervised visitation. A lot of families just need to go through a month, 2 months, 3 months worth of supervised visitation before the court will make a recommendation as to whether or not they need to either continue supervised visitation or whether they can move on to unsupervised. So it's not a lifetime commitment, usually. Ellis. Yes, ma'am. For those of you who didn't hear, Alice David Bennett Jr., her son, who is with Christian Friendliness Ministries down in the Tri-City area of Illinois, will be up here with a group from his youth group, and they will be doing the entire service. I'm not sure if David will be preaching or if one of the kids will be preaching, but David will be. Okay, so David will be here, but the kids will be giving some testimonies. They will also be singing and doing some skits, and I would encourage you to come and be encouragement to these kids. These are kids from more of an inner city background than some of us might be, though, of course, a lot of people are now considering Brooklyn Center to be inner city, but I don't know. I think we're still just entering suburb. But just to encourage you to come and encourage these kids. But do come recognizing it's going to be a different service. Okay. Also, in November, 23rd of November will be our joint service with the Hmong congregation. We'll have our Thanksgiving dinner after the service. We'll be having details be coming on that soon. So just want to put that out there for you. And if you want to turn your Bibles or look up on the screen, we can move on to what I'm here to do up here this morning. We're almost done with the Gospel of John. I think we're getting close to 2 years, or at least a year and a half, having been in and out of the Gospel of John. We've taken breaks from it while we've done a few things here and there. But we are coming to the end. We have 2 more weeks after this week, and we will be done with the Gospel of John. Then I'll be preaching in missions up until missions conference. So that just gives you an idea where we'll be at for the next few weeks. So let's turn to Gospel of John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. And afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now, David, even here in the Bible, sometimes they don't catch anything. Okay. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." And Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that you sent your Son Jesus, not just to live and die as a sacrifice for our sins, but also, Lord, to be raised again as the first fruits of eternal life and a restored relationship with you. Father, we thank you that you love us, each one, individually and personally. That you care about the smallest things in our lives. Father, we ask now that you'd send your Holy Spirit to just be here in power, to illuminate these scriptures and give us understanding. Lord, that your anointing would be upon me as I preach, that I would preach through the infilling and the power of your Holy Spirit, and that it would be your name that is lifted up and your name that is praised and your truth that is given out. And Father, I speak that if anything I say is not of you, but that it would be as if it was never spoken, but that your truth would win out. And it would fill our hearts and our minds, and we would seek to find ways to live it out in our lives. We pray this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you go fishing? Even if you don't catch anything, it's worthwhile, isn't it? Now, I told David today I was going to make him come up here and give the sermon illustration talk to some. And he said, ain't no way I'd get up there. But now, David, if I asked you to come up here and tell the story about that muskie that got away at Mille Lacs, you'd certainly be tempted to come up, wouldn't you? We all love to tell our fish stories, don't we? Fisherman that doesn't have a fish story? Come on. Now, that's something that just isn't so. Well, most of the disciples and the group that's named here, these guys are fishermen. That's where Jesus found them. And we find that in Gospel of Matthew 28:10 that Jesus tells the disciples to go on down to Galilee and wait for him. And they're down there waiting. And Peter's never been a real patient person. I don't know if you noticed that in Scripture, but he's kind of little, you know, gets the urge, he moves on it. So he's waiting, which he's not good at. And, you know, there's things battling within him. It's been a heavy week or so. Okay, 2 weeks ago, he'd been with Jesus as he comes in this triumphal entry. And they're saying, Hosanna, and greeting Jesus as the King, as the salvation of all Israel. And just a few days later, Peter's denying Jesus 3 times. Saying, I don't know him, I never knew him. And he feels that guilt. And then full of that guilt, he watches his Lord crucified. Sees him buried. And in the midst of this deep darkness comes the glory of Easter morning and resurrection. And they see the empty grave. And then they meet face to face with Jesus. And he's had these meetings. Now, twice he's seen Jesus. But Peter's still feeling some guilt. Still having some issues. Even though Jesus isn't mad at him, he hasn't said anything to him. He's like, I ran away. He was probably not feeling so great at that moment. And he didn't know where Jesus was. He said, go down there and wait. Talking with George Peterson, he thinks that Peter's depressed at this point. I would have to say it's probably not a bad summation. Sometimes people who are in depression don't exhibit a lot of signs. But one is sometimes they try to find something to do that just brings them a little comfort. And if nothing else, even if he wasn't depressed, he was feeling down or, you know, just, what do I do? So he does something that feels natural. And probably something he hasn't had a chance to do for a while, something that he missed. He went fishing. Now, Then the way you wall, you're out in the middle of the night. And you cast the net out as the fish come to the surface to feed. You try to cast the net out and catch the fish. Well, these guys are out there fishing all night. And we have the details of the story. Now we find this, amazingly enough, this story about this little fishing trip in the midst of the Gospels. I'm going to propose to you that this is one of the evidences that can be argued to the authenticity of the Gospel story. The authenticity of the resurrection. This isn't the kind of stuff that people make up when they're trying to look glorified, that things are trying to make somebody look good. I went out fishing all night and didn't catch nothing. But then they got the big fish story. But then he told us to fish on the right side of the boat. And when he did, we had so many fish, we couldn't pick up the net. So many, 153, this is a specific number. Now you know that's a true fisherman, right? Gives you that specific number. That was an 8.5-pound walleye that got away. How would I know that? I didn't have a weight gauge on my pole. Well, you know, I'm just guessing, you know. How many inches was that muskie, David? That's right. He's a true fisherman. He can give you that exact. But this kind of detail, this tells us just the life that Jesus entered into the lives and the reality of what was going on. These details really do show us the reality of what's going on. That Jesus is real and His resurrection is real. He sits down and He eats with them. Showing that He's not just some ghost spirit, but is resurrected in the body. He sits and has a meal. Another interesting point we can see with this story that has been included here is it's a reminder of when they were first called to be disciples. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4. It said, when they had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, put me into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon Peter answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. I believe Jesus wanted to remind Peter about his initial calling. Actions and smells build strong memories. Ever been doing something and thought, whoa, I did that a long time ago? Or did sometimes you're in the middle of something and you say, I've done this before. And you think about it. Sometimes we do things and we do them so often we can do them without even thinking. The people who can type and talk, those are the ones I want. They're just sick. But to be able to do that, that's... But they've done it so often that they can just do that. And I'm like, pfft. You know, talking and walking is about as far as I can go. Okay. Try and type at the same time. No. But we have these memory We're able to do something. And when we have done something, and we haven't done it for a while, and then we have this memory, boom, all this rushes back. You know, I hadn't gone fishing for a little while. We took the men's Bible study group out, and we went on a fishing trip up to Lake Mille Lacs. And as I'm out there fishing, I'm reliving every fishing trip I've ever been on. Am I the only one that does that or thinks of that? You think about all the other fish that you've ever caught. You got. I know we talk about it when we get to. Yeah, we talk about one fish story or another fish story. Well, Jesus is bringing to mind another fish story for Peter. You see, this is the third time that Jesus has appeared to Peter in this group and some of these disciples. The third time. Three is important. Remember, it was three times that Peter said, I don't know him. And remember, it's three times that a husband says to his wife by Jewish law, I divorce you in order to divorce them. Three is a very important thing. And three times Jesus comes back. And each time he's commissioned them. He said, I'm sending you. He's told them this. And now here, he's coming back specifically to reinstate Peter. We're going to see that next week, that reinstatement. Now there's two things I want you to take away from this passage that we've read and we've talked about some. The first is that you can trust the Scriptures. That the gospel story is true. These are not the type of self-aggrandizement stories that people make up. This isn't going to impress the world and say, that's an important man. I need to follow him. When people are lying, they come up with better stories than this. But when we look at that, we see that there isn't a better story than this. That's the amazing thing. The second thing I want you to take away is that God meets us where we are. Even though he told Peter where to go, he met him there. And when he meets us where we are, that he will use even the most mundane things to prepare us for the tasks that he has for us to do. Using even just this fishing and having breakfast on the beach. Because again, what memories are being evoked here when they sitting on the beach having breakfast? He's breaking bread. You don't think that isn't bringing back the Last Supper memories? Well, you know it is. And it's preparing Peter for what's coming next. God uses sometimes even the most mundane things in our lives to prepare us for tasks that he has that are very important. We can't see that till we can look back sometimes off 20 or 30 years of hindsight. That hindsight is great. I wish I had it to look forward with. But it doesn't work that way, does it? But we just need to trust that God can and will use even the most mundane things. And that he's interested in those things. God is interested in being with us out on that boat fishing. He wants to be there with us, to celebrate in it, to bless us even in those types of things. And also prepare us, strengthen us for the task that he has coming. What we see here is a reminder of Jesus' love for Peter and for the disciples. And we see here him laying the groundwork for bringing that reinstatement of Peter to the office of apostle and to the leader of the disciples. We're going to take communion this morning. And